Welcome to the MegaCast.
Welcome to episode 86 of the MegaCast. I am Matt Jerkins in hideous audio. I'm joined tonight by Josh and Wilco. Good evening, fellas.
Hello, sir.
Good evening. How is Afghanistan going tonight, anyway? Recording live from Afghanistan.
Apologies on the audio. I haven't been here for a couple of weeks because my computer exploded. It finally packed it in after 7 years.
You know you don't put computers in microwaves, mate. You understand.
Well, you don't. Well, I found that out. I thought you would heat it up and run a bit faster. But
and, you know, water-cooled computers don't run on Pepsi Max. That's all I'm saying.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
So...
I don't. And you can't water cool a computer by just by pouring water on it either, funnily
enough. No, apparently not. That's a no.
But my PC is dead, so I'm busy saving for a new one. So that means that while I'm doing that, I don't have access to my good recording stuff. So I'm currently recording with a toothpick, which is very, very ingenious, kind of like MacGyver in a weird way. But anyway, Wilco, what have you been up to for the past week, man?
For the last... 50 million years since I talked to you last.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been. We were talking last week about this whole God of War. We came down and we were in a slump and we weren't playing much. I bounced back this week, I think. I spread myself wide and I played a lot of stuff, and then I found myself enjoying one thing, but we'll get to that at the end. So obviously, State of Decay 2, we talked about that in depth last week. Played probably my final game of it for a while on Friday night on stream. Unless I play some co-op with you,
keen to try out the co-op.
We'll try and get some co-op. It's just that I'm really busy with some other stuff at the moment. But we'll try some co-op at some stage. But I started a new settlement. I did it better than the previous one. I then got to the point that I realized I still needed to do it better again. So I still need to start the third settlement. But yeah, there's some janky stuff. I lost complete UI, so I couldn't actually...
What? The whole UI, just gone.
Yeah, so I was winding up the stream, I'm playing, and I went, I'll just do one more mission. I went upstairs, and there's no... It's just a beautiful screen with nothing around me telling, you know, how much health I've got or anything like that. There's just nothing, which is good, except for when you want to talk to the NPC that you're halfway through talking to, because... You can't see what they're saying to you, so you don't know. And especially in a very big a game where decisions actually matter, like I don't want to just say yes or no to them without knowing that I'm going to be, you know, killing them or they're going to be killing me at the end of it. So I just went, nah, I can't do this, and turned it off there and then. We had all kinds of other weird issues, but it gets repetitive quickly. That's where I'm at. It's a good fun game for those people who like that kind of niche simulator zombie thing, which I think you'll talk about it later anyway, Josh. So we'll probably move on from that. I'll explain where I get to. I've played some Damsel because Damsel's just hella fun, and they've put in their Twitch integration now, so if you're watching me on stream, you can actually put dash boom and a bomb, an actual time bomb will appear somewhere on the map, and I've got to go disarm that straight away. There's also dash red mist, which will actually put health on the map, and dash save me, which puts another hostage on the map. So we had a bit of fun with that with Anthony and Kados and the crew mucking around with me. They actually destroyed one of my runs because they put a bomb on the map, and it was on the other side of the map, and I couldn't get to it in time. And that was the end of my run. But I got third this week in the weekly challenge, which was good. So I've just got Kados and Maddie Cakes to try and take down. Maddie Cakes has won the last five or six in a row, so shout out to you, mate, and I'm coming to get you. So apparently this week's a bit easier, so I'm going to get on that a little bit later this week and play again. But we played some World of Warships once again. We got into that. We had a rough trot, and then we had a viewer that actually... was giving me advice the whole way through. Then he jumped on at the end and absolutely wrecked shop, and we won. Like, we didn't lose a ship the whole night, and the whole match, and he just absolutely just went through and wiped everyone out. It was phenomenal to watch. And he's a local Newcastle boy, so hopefully we get some more games with him fairly soon. But the other one, we did a podcast on Cinema Rosa last night, Cinema Rosa, which is a game being made out of Sydney by just a gentleman called Josh Crook, and We interviewed him.
Jeez, most Joshes are really ingenious people, aren't they?
I made the comment of that's three Joshes I've got to put up with on my podcast, and it was a nightmare. So
that would have been rough.
Oh, it was terrible. But anyway, it's a cool little point and click adventure type of thing. It's puzzle solving. It's set in a you're on your own for starters, so there's no interaction with other people. It's literally you in this cinema, which is an old sort of Art Deco 1920s cinema. That's had some shit go down in it, and then you're trying to piece together what actually happened. So I played a 20-minute demo of that. Really good. It's not out till next year. Rumored to maybe coming to Switch, which is pretty cool, but VR in particular looks like it's going to be amazing for that, and it's just very story-driven narrative thing. He said it's only probably going to be an hour and a half, 2 hours max sort of thing, but he's just creating the puzzles, and the puzzles were pretty cool, so... Rather enjoyed that, and that episode will be out tomorrow on Super Hype Train. But I guess the big one that I've been sucked back into is The Division, and that's what I'm busy with at the moment, Josh. So they got the global event this week, and we're hammering that pretty hard. So nice, trying to get nice. Good at it. Like, I used to be good, and I haven't played it for a long time. So just trying to learn my shit again and get my build up to standard. So... But yeah, definitely playing a lot of that. But I promised you a story about my internet tonight, Josh, and I've got a story for you.
So
like Perko's recording from the back of Afghanistan, I almost had no internet for tonight's podcast. I got an email from iPrimus saying, "Hey, dude, we overcharged you. ACCC got up us because we can't do 100 down and 40 up like we've been charging you for the last 12 months or whatever it's been."
Well, that's nice of them to be that honest.
Yeah, we owe you $409, the refund, for the difference in the speed. To get that refund, you have to either downgrade your plan or you need to go to another provider. If you decide to stay on said plan and stay with us, you do not get said refund. So I'm like, sweet. Off to TPG I go.
The ACCC said to them, you can't charge what you've set because it's... false.
Yeah.
So they've said, okay, well, we'll just can the whole plan. So the only way you get your refund is if you leave them.
Because that means you are disgruntled with what the service they were providing. If you stay on that plan and stay on that with them, then apparently you're saying that you're okay with them doing that. I assume that's the way it went. I was baffled.
That's, I'm just like, weird, man. Fuck.
That I'm like, just give me the refund and I'll be happy. I'll stay with you guys. But it's at the end, the only other option was if you stay with us, you
don't get the refund. I wonder if any other ISPs are doing that. Because that seems really dodgy, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, apparently, if you're on a basically all the, if you're on 100 down, 40 up, there's no way that anyone can provide it, especially during peak times, because of it's fiber to node. No. So basically all of them are getting done. So whether how they
it's all about contention. It's all about contention and congestion. So a lot of the back end is owned by a lot of people don't realize this, but a lot of the back end infrastructure is owned by NBN Co. So like iPrimus doesn't actually own their own NBN hardware. It's all owned by NBN Co, which is like a subsidiary of like the government, Telstra, and all this sort of stuff. And so when the NBN Co hardware gets bogged down in peak hours, every ISP suffers the same
thing. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter who you're with. It's just if you're in an area that has shitty contention and crappy hardware from NBN Co, you're going to get shitty speeds during peak hours and like large use times. That's just the way that the NBN works currently, which is terrible. Not good, but you know.
So to do things, I had to actually set up, obviously, with TPG first and then cancel my iPrimus, because then I'd have no internet if iPrimus cancelled first and TPG wasn't up. So I did that on Saturday, and then I got a text message this afternoon on the way home saying, we've set up your internet. It's ready to go. I'm like, oh, shit. And then I got home and my daughter's like, Netflix doesn't work, Daddy. And I'm like, yeah, I know. luckily, the modem had arrived this afternoon, so I picked that up at like half an hour before the post office finished. I race home, hook it all up after doing dinner and everything. And then it still wasn't working. So because they hadn't sent me a password or anything. And I'm like, oh, fuck, this is going to be a nightmare. Rang him, lovely TPG, helped me out and hooked it up within like 5 minutes. And you have me tonight, unfortunately. Sorry about that. So...
No, I'm glad that we do.
But another side effect is that is I've started watching 13 Reasons Why Season 2, Episode 1. I just finished Episode 1 tonight because it hit Netflix and I can actually watch it because I have actual internet. And it's good. So that's me. I've like I said, I've bounced back from this whole God of War doldrums that I was in. And, I'm heavily into The Division. And this has a lot to do with, obviously, Locked On going so well at the moment. We're getting really good guests and... We're getting a little bit more known in the Division community because of the guests we're getting. So I'm deciding to play with a few of these guys that we're now good friends with. So it's good.
Very nice indeed. Well, apart from 13 Reasons Why Season 2, sounds like you've had a good week.
I've had a great week.
Because fuck those. I don't understand those shows. I don't want to watch a show and become so depressed that I just question everything.
Oh, I question everything anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Good point. Josh, what have you been up to for the past week?
A little bit. So, still, end of last week, was still playing a fair bit of Destiny 2. It's still there. It's still good. It's good enough as a bench warmer, I guess, at the moment. You know, bit of a palate cleanser. Much like
what you've got to do now is buy a PC and get it on PC and play with the boys. There you go.
Well, or you know, like I did have it on PS4 first, so you know maybe they should have just got it on PS4.
Nah.
Just saying.
Anyway.
Nah. Just saying. But
I'm just echoing the thoughts of the community. It's all good, mate. It's all good.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Once I get a PC, I probably will. But you know, I still don't have one of them. I've got a better working one than Matt does, but still, it's not the best.
Because it fucking turns on, mate.
it's only a marginal improvement, though.
Yeah, only marginally.
Technically, so a potato right now is a better PC than mine is, because at least you can fucking eat a potato if you cook it right. Can't eat this thing.
Well, you could. You wouldn't be too well afterwards.
Hurt.
Yeah,
it'd hurt a lot.
You'd have to milk.
So yeah, anyway. Destiny 2. Played that. Still, you know, it's. I'll probably keep playing that for a while. Yet, I think it's not going to be a main game for me, but it's. I am finding it enjoyable to jump in and just shoot some shit in the head every now and then. So I'll probably just keep jumping on every week and doing the weekly bloody challenges and stuff like that. So, went down to Brisbane on Saturday for a work function. Did that. Saw an absolute ripper AFL game Sunday night, Lions versus Hawks. It was a lot of fun. Did not expect the Lions to come away with that win, but they did. But while I was down there, picked up Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2 on the Switch. So great, played a little bit of that on while I was down in Brisbane. Never played them. So, enjoying them.
How good are you at them, though?
Oh, shithouse. Like, proper shithouse. Like the end of the levels, you know, I'm getting like the stone award or some bloody thing.
I was about to say, are you the iron guy? Stone, the stone fist award? I figured.
Yeah, so I'm playing through Bayonetta 1, obviously, at the moment. Look, it's good. I am enjoying it on the Switch. It is much better in docked mode than handheld, obviously, because the screens are so much bigger and there's so much can happen at once in that.
Yeah,
in that game.
Yeah, how does it run? Like in handheld mode, is it a little bit? Does it get like? Because those games are quite. They're not graphically intense, but there can be a lot of shit happening on the screen at once, like a lot of particle effects, and they're quite flashy looking. Like the graphics aren't incredible, nothing like you know Horizon Zero Dawn or anything like that. But there's always a lot happening on the screen. So how does the Switch sort of handle that?
Look, it seems to handle it well. Like as the biggest issue I've got, I think, is just the size of the screen. More than anything else. Like, it doesn't seem to slow down or anything like that. Everything seems to happen quite organically, but just because the size of it, it can be hard to see some of the tells when they're attacking you and things like that.
Yeah, fair.
So that's probably the only thing, is the physical size. When you're putting it into the dock mode, and I've actually got it on the screen on my Benkwai, it's quite nice. It's really good. So, enjoying that. Played a lot of that on the flight and everything back up. I don't know, up to chapter 9 or something on the first one. So I'll play through that and play through number 2. I'm keen to get into number 2 because one does look dated. You know, it is a fairly old game now, I guess. So it does definitely look dated. Also picked up State of Decay 2. Installed that yesterday when we got home. And I've played about an hour of that so far. And... an hour is not enough time to get a feel for it.
Didn't it release today?
I installed it yesterday.
You buy the online version. Midnight. Well done.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got it on my wonderful laptop. Wow.
Yeah.
That's right. Works it's PC really, Play really Anywhere, well. Isn't it? That's why you get it. That's fair.
Yeah, it is. It's a Play Anywhere title. Yeah. So, and Emma got it on her PC too. So we'll certainly be doing some multiplayer.
But can you play it?
Yeah.
Is it buggy?
Well, I haven't. Look, I played a fair bit of number one, and Wilco, I think you said you didn't play the first one.
No, I didn't play
the first one was buggy as hell anyway. It was like the first one was a buggy mess. That was half the fun of it.
Yeah. Look, I haven't come across any major bugs yet, but it's certainly got the feel behind it of number one, if that makes sense. It's the same kind of gameplay that I've come across so far. A little bit different with some of the stuff you can and can't do. The no electricity thing is already pissing me the fuck off.
And how dark,
they've really made the darkness and nighttime a really bigger factor in this game than it was in the first one.
Because I started my new settlement and I'm like, I'm going to go pick a good base that I want, but they force you into that same base every time and then you have to save up to get a new one. So that's
the thing. And I mean, there are the three different areas that you can choose from to begin with. So I'm assuming that everything's going to be a little bit different, but you're always going to...
foothills now. I did the valley first.
Yeah, I think... did I go valley or plateau? I can't remember. That's going to be the start of it. You know, your little base gets you to learn the mechanics there, and then you can go on and on to the bigger stuff. That was in the first one. I'm expecting that again in this one. Couple little things that I haven't quite worked out how to do that I did work out in the first one, like, you know, with the cars, when your car's loaded up, you do have two car parks in the first one you could park your car and whatever's in the boot would auto unload.
I haven't quite worked that out just yet.
I hope it's in there.
I worked out play carts that, we were talking about. I didn't know the mechanic behind that. That's flame.
Yep.
Anything incendiary will actually take.
Yeah, destroy the hell out of them. Yeah, but no. Look, what I've played so far, I think I'm going to enjoy it because I did enjoy the first one. It is very heavy into the community management side of things, much like the first one. And I imagine my first death of a character will piss me off to no avail, and I will put the game down for at least a week and walk away from it because I'll be so angry.
I think I worked out its biggest problem on Friday night when I streamed it, and a lot of it comes down to the fact that it's a Microsoft exclusive, and a lot of people are seeing it as a AAA game. Like when I said this is an indie title because it is a small team that makes it. They went, no, this is Microsoft. This should be more polished than this. I said, no, this is nothing to do with Microsoft except for the fact that it's only on Xbox. This is a small indie team that's made this. You need to expect an indie game. And if you look at it at that level, then it's actually really good. And like it's what you would expect from something like a small indie dev that's bringing their game out. It's just the fact that Microsoft put their clout behind it.
The problem that Microsoft have is that anything that's released is an exclusive these days. It's so few and far between with Microsoft that everyone sort of automatically jumps and goes, we expect this to be good because there's not many exclusives coming out for Microsoft. And
I've just got to wonder, I wonder how long it's going to be exclusive for. Like the big thing for me when
first
I was
first one was
to get
always
it,
always exclusive. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be.
You reckon?
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to come over.
Well, even just to go so far as come onto Steam, though.
Is it not on Steam? I thought it was.
No.
The first one is.
This one is not.
Yeah.
Well, if it is, like, I couldn't find it. I couldn't pre-order it on Steam. No, maybe I couldn't buy it on Steam when it was released. So, like, even to go that far and for it to hit Steam, I don't think it's going to... I wouldn't think it's going to take that long. Because I think, who was it? It might have been, was it Lee?
Well, it's already available on PC from your Windows Store, mate. So you don't need it on Steam, remember?
See, I don't, for that reason, and because it's Game Pass, part of Game Pass, I don't think you'll see it on Steam.
Yeah,
true. I don't think you will either.
True.
But yeah, that's the biggest problem with it, because everyone in my stream was like, I expect better than this from Microsoft. I'm like, it's not Microsoft. you got to remember that. This is
the
hard thing is you say this is like Cuphead, but Cuphead was a beautiful looking game. But this is an open world version of a indie exclusive, and you got to remember indie games, like open world games, are really hard to make them look beautiful because there's so much going on, and it's all the computing power of everything.
To be fair, going from State of Decay 1 to this one, yeah, there's a fair few years between them, but I can already see the improvements that they've made. But if you do go into State of Decay 2 thinking that it is going to be that AAA experience, then maybe it's not the game for you. Because it is going to be very, very heavy on the community management side of things. It's going to be very, very heavy on repetitiveness. You know, you're going to be doing the same stuff. You're constantly going to be out there looking for your resources, rescuing your survivors, doing that kind of stuff, starting to look at what survivors you've got in your base to make sure you've got the right skills. Like, it is a massive management game to help you survive the zombie apocalypse, basically. And that's what it's all about. Same as number one.
The biggest part of it I pointed out to everyone on stream was the fact that there is a mechanic in-game that you can use when you open up your radio that says, hey, I'm stuck in the world. Can you please get me unstuck? That is a feature that they've put in the game because there are parts of this world where you do get stuck in. That's a cool thing to do, but like, you know your world, you're going to get stuck in the world. Like, maybe this game should have come out, you know, early next year maybe could have polished up a bit more, but I think, like I said, people are expecting a lot more than what it actually is, and it's hard to combat that, really.
But no, look, I am really enjoying, I'm really looking forward to spending some more time with it, because I did really enjoy number one. I actually never finished number one. I think I did about 3 or 4 playthroughs of different characters before they died. I'm keen to see how long and how far I go with this one. So
tell me, Josh.
Mm.
2 weeks ago, we heard you say, I'm going to install Fortnite. Did you install Fortnite? Did you play it?
Yes.
You did?
Okay. I did.
How many times?
Only a couple of matches. Twice. It was a little bit longer than that. I tried to get the Infinity Gauntlet a couple of times and then just kept dying horribly. It.
Okay, yeah. I need to hear how Perko's been going on Fortnite, because we haven't heard from him for a couple of weeks. What have you been up to?
Terribly. Terribly. Man, to be honest, I've been working a whole bunch. There was like a 3-week period where I pretty much didn't get a day off and just was working like after hours and stuff, and worked public holidays and all sorts of stuff. So when I'm not working, I've been playing quite a few games over the past couple of weeks. I've nearly finished Yakuza Kiwami, which is the remake/remaster of the first Yakuza game. Pretty good, actually. It's the stories keep me going, which is interesting. The fighting mechanics are sort of very button mashy and not incredible, because obviously it is the remake of the first game. I'm assuming they'd get better. Like, I want to play Yakuza 6. That's the reason I'm doing it. So I'm assuming that the fighting will get better as the games go on. I played Yakuza 3 and Yakuza 5, I think, but I can't remember anything about them. But I sort of wanted to go back and start again and play the first one where it all began. So I'm enjoying that. I'm right towards the end. It's about 12 chapters long, and I think I'm at chapter 10, so I'm towards the end of that.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but while Yakuza Kiwami is the remake of the first Yakuza, in the timeline, is it the first one? I always get confused. I thought like number 3 was Yakuza's before number...
Yakuza
0.
Yeah, but even in 1 through 5, I think there's a little bit of jumping around as well. I'll be right.
Yeah.
I think there is too, but I actually don't know. I should probably look at that, but still, it's not a bad game. It's fucking crazy. Some weird shit happens in that game. Hey, it's a Japanese Yakuza game. There's some weird shit that goes down in those games. God bless you, Japan.
I'm just looking at SkillUp's Twitter. He's saying that all the old Yakuzas are getting a remaster for PS4 now. That's like 21 minutes.
Yes, they are.
Well.
Wow. So Yakuza Kiwami 2. I don't know what they're going to call it, actually. Because from what I understand, Kiwami is just like means...
just remake.
It's like the Japanese word for HD remake or remake.
Hmm.
So that's why we've got like Taukaden Kiwami and like another something Kiwami and Yakuza Kiwami and Yakuza 2 Kiwami. So yeah, look, I'll probably play through a bunch of them. I do want to play through 6 because it looks fucking cool. I grabbed Celeste. Celeste was that weird game not weird game. It was like a small indie game that's like a deals with mental health issues, and it's quite a hard side scrolling platformer, like an old 8-bit sort of or 16-bit sort of platformer. Been playing that when I get chances to. It's pretty difficult for a platformer. There's a lot you gotta be quite dexterous with your fingers to get through some of the shit in that game. Sort of relies on you having high skill to beat certain areas. Been playing Rainbow Moon, which is a turn-based RPG, much like Final Fantasy Tactics. Been playing Dying Light.
What do you think of Dying Light?
I haven't really played too much of it. Hey, I'm fatigued on a bunch of different styles of game at the moment, so that's why I think I'm sort of branching out to a few different ones, like the Yakuza, which is sort of open world but sort of not. It's a very small open world, and it's very story driven and side quest driven. Dying Light reminds me a lot of like the Far Cries and stuff like that, which is one of the kinds of genres I'm a bit burnt out on at the moment. So I'm finding it difficult to get into. I think it's a game that I would enjoy if I wasn't so burnt out on them at the moment, but you know, whatever. I had my son Sethi here for a few days, and we played a lot of Crash Bandicoot, Dragon Quest Builders, and Little Big Planet 3, which was really fun. Or as he calls it, Bat Bandicoot, Bobby's, and that one.
That one.
Nice.
That one. I like that one. He just points to the Sackboy picture. And Bobby's is because he likes the blobbies. He likes the blobs in Dragon Quest Builders. He just sits there and watches them. I don't actually have to play the game. He just sits there and watches the blobs jump around the blobs. Screen. Fucking loves it. And as Wilco alluded, I've been playing a whole shit ton of Fortnite on PS4 with a few mates. I've got a crew that are more or less on every single night, 5 or 6 of us. And because I don't have a PC right now, I spend a lot of my time in bed, because I'm bored, waiting for scripts to run, working and shit like that, and playing Fortnite, and just talking to people on PSN. I'm so over that game.
Did you get the Infinity Gauntlet?
Yeah, I got it twice, actually.
Did you win with it?
Is it
no, the first time I got fucking murdered instantaneously, because I had no idea what I was doing. The second time I did a bit better. I killed like 6 or 7 people, but it's... No, you don't kill people. If you get the Infinity Gauntlet when there's like 6 people left, you've got a pretty good chance. But if you get the Infinity Gauntlet when there's like 80 people left, you're up shit creek. There's nothing you can do. You just get blasted. But look, I'm still having fun with it. It's more of a, again, it's, I'm at the point with Fortnite now where I was with games like World of Warcraft and even Destiny towards the end, where it's more about the social element than the actual game for me. So I get on and I talk to mates, and a lot of times I don't even realize that we're sort of playing a game. We're just sort of shooting the shit, you know.
That's where I'm with. I don't really the Division at the moment as well, I think. So that's what's getting me through. So
yeah, I don't actually really like Fortnite as a game. Like I you know, I wouldn't really probably go out of my way to play it by myself. It's only when people are online, they're like, hey, man, come play Fortnite. I'm like, yeah, right. It's a social game to play. Fine, I guess. We've got a few wins. I did have a win a couple of weeks ago where I think we parachuted in. It was myself, mate of mine, Matty Peters, his older brother, Dan, and someone else, I think. And we landed in Haunted, and they died almost instantaneously. And I was lucky enough to be on top of the church and watch them die, those bastards. And then I killed the entire squad that killed them, which I felt really good about, all 4 of them. And then went on to win the whole squad's match by myself.
Nice.
And they were sitting there watching it and losing their fucking minds. They were like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it towards the end when I won the whole thing.
You're elite,
and
bro.
I looked down and then I looked down, there was like 16 people watching me, and I was like, that feels pretty good. But that's probably the coolest thing I've ever done in Fortnite, and probably the coolest thing I'll ever do in Fortnite. So I can, you know, because other times I just get killed by a dude with a pickaxe, so I'm terrible.
I did that once.
Did you?
That was my highlight of my Fortnite career.
Right? Not like...
Yeah, oh, yeah. We won't talk about the other time. So cool.
I've had funny moments in Fortnite where like a dude runs past the door and I'm just swinging my pickaxe and I just hit him and he just happens to have like 10 health left and just kill him. It's like, oh shit, whoops.
Yeah, no, right at the end, when Butters rage quit the game forever and uninstalled it straight away, I was with Demuji and someone was chasing Demuji around. He couldn't get him and I just went out with the pickaxe. Like, five, it took me 5 hits to get him down, but I got him down. And that was the highlight of my Fortnite career. I was just like, that's it, I'm over. Yeah, and it's all the game.
Quit while you're ahead.
Yep.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's an interesting game, hey. I don't... Like, and these Battle Royale games are going to... They're going to keep coming thick and fast. I think
we've got more news on it later, so we'll probably have to pick up that discussion a little bit later.
Yeah, well, speaking of
news...
People
are getting rich.
Yeah. Speaking of news, let's do this.
This is the fucking news.
I guess we've just talked about Fortnite, so we'll jump down the list a little bit straight into the big news from Epic Games. They're going to provide... They're putting up $100 million.
That's fucking crazy.
$100 million. So when we speak about the biggest tournaments in esports history currently, we're really only talking about Dota 2 with the international prize pool of like 20 and 30 million.
Yeah.
And that's... And that the 75 to 80% of that is
crowdfunded.
Like crowdfunded. So not only, like, I think Valve puts in like 4 or 5 million to that prize pool. So not only is, like, what the fuck, Epic? Like, you've just one-upped the entire industry by 20 times. 100 million. How much money are you pricks making?
I'm making way too much. The whole fact that they turned around and said, we're going to refund everyone who bought their game, was it Paragon they did? That they shut down the servers and just said, oh yeah, we'll just give you all a refund if you played it. Just let us know.
Which sucks, because Paragon was alright, but whatever. Yeah. So, what I was reading in Reddit forums and stuff today is one of the reasons they're so rich is because any game that uses the Unreal Engine needs to pay them like 5% of their royalties.
Oh, shit.
So, like, they
so they're getting
a
piece
of...
God. No, what's PUBG
Every pie.
On?
No, not PUBG. No, PUBG's got their own engine, I'm pretty
it's
sure.
It's Arma 3's engine, which is something different. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a bunch of games that were in this Reddit post that were pretty recent, like Batman Telltale and shit like that, and all Telltale games and all sorts of stuff like that. Like, they get 5% of all the revenue of any game that uses the Unreal Engine.
We'll just have a think about the massive indie scene that's going on Switch at the moment. And I think a large chunk of those games that are selling like hotcakes on the Switch are actually built on Unreal as well, because it's so
easy.
I'm
pretty sure Bayonetta's running on Unreal as well.
Probably. Yeah. Like, they must be making so much money. And just like, I've got a sister who spends money on these fucking microtransactions in Fortnite. She buys every dance that comes out. It's fucking ridiculous.
Actually,
and Beck, if you listen to this, fuck you. Stop doing that.
She put something on Facebook tonight that said, I've really got to stop spending money on dances in Fortnite for shits and giggles. And I'm just like, why did you start to begin with?
I've got to admit, some of the best things I saw in the last 2 weeks was Thanos doing some pretty cool dance moves, to be honest.
Yeah.
That was the highlight of my days.
But like, they just must be making so much money, so hideous. Because if you're smart about it, so I have bought a couple of the season passes, and the season passes last for about 60 to 70 days. And what they give, and I'm all for this kind of microtransaction. They give you the season pass. They give you, they say, okay, the season pass is $15, however much it is. I think it's $14.95 to get it as much as you need. So it's $15 for this season. Straight away, you are given a list of everything that you can possibly unlock in that season pass. You just have to be good enough and play enough to unlock it all.
Yeah.
Like, there's no random chances. There's no shit like that. It's like, hey, I'll play the season pass, and if I work my ass off, and if I do my dailies, and if I grind my ass out, this is what I get. It gives you a progression path, and to be fair, quite an enjoyable progression path. I think they did that really, really well. But if you are smart about it, throughout the season, you get V-Bucks, and V-Bucks is their in-game currency. If you're smart about it and you don't spend your V-Bucks, the next time a season pass comes in, from the last season pass, you will have earned enough V-Bucks to just buy the next season pass. Mm-hmm. So if you don't actually spend any money, any of your in-game currency on any dances or any skins or anything like that, you only ever have to buy one season pass, and you can continue to play all the seasons for free as long as you get enough V-Bucks the previous season by leveling up your season pass to get the next season pass. Which I think is pretty cool, but I bet it doesn't work out that way. I don't know how many people would just be like, this dance is sick, I'm just going to buy it, and then they'll drop $15 on the next season pass.
Yeah.
Fuck.
What? That's how they make their money. But so I think it's important for us to point out now that we've now become amateur Fortnite players, we're going to put together a team. Because yeah. 100 million.
Back to the actual news story. Back to the actual news story. $100 million that Epic is putting up in the first year of competitive tournaments and competitive play in Fortnite. That is an insane. So we're not too sure. I don't think it'll be $100 million on one tournament. I think it'll be across the year. They'll have a couple of million-dollar tournaments, then there'll be prizes, and they'll probably fly pros. So they're putting up $100 million, and that's not necessarily as prize money. That's them putting up $100 million to host tournaments and do things. So I'm assuming that's probably flying people out there, flying the pros out there, hiring convention centers, all that sort of shit to get this stuff done. So we'll probably see two or three big tournaments with some multi-million-dollar prize pools, but a lot of that money is going to go into their marketing for esports, flying people, and a lot of the back-end stuff, I would think, because it hasn't... I don't think it specifically states that they're putting up $100 million in prize money, does it?
I was pretty sure it said there was going to be a $100 million
prize pool.
Fund prize pool.
That's fucking insane then.
They said prize. Let me have a look.
Then discount everything I said if that's the case.
Epic Games will... This is from Epic. Epic Games will provide $100 million for Fortnite eSports tournament prize pools in the first year of competitive play. So that's just
prize
pools.
See, if you look at something like Rainbow Six Siege, you will probably see what they might be leaning towards, because they do a season around it, one of their DLC packs, so it's a season.
Yeah.
So you'll probably see where Fortnite will do a season, and then at the start of that season, the new season begins for Fortnite competitions. You do your regionals, which have prize money, and then they sort of build up until the end of the season. You do a big match somewhere in the world, which is the one that everyone will watch, and then you start again and go again and try and qualify for that again. So there'll be three or four of them, I guess, a year.
Could Fortnite be the game, with how many people play it, could Fortnite be the game that finally popularizes esports?
Yep.
100%.
You think?
I just want to point out,
but
I think
it's not fun to watch.
No.
it's not fun to watch. There are games like Dota and CSGO.
But to be fair, I have seen some Fortnite videos that are
about 2 minutes long that are good because you're watching a snippet. But Fortnite matches go for 30 minutes and half it as you run across the fucking map.
But if
you're producing it, you're not doing it from one person's point of view. You're putting in tools who does it best, Overwatch, obviously, with their Overwatch League that they did.
Dota 2 do it best by far. They're always zipping around the map and showing you the actual where the action is on the map. Yeah,
but if they spend money
on production value with actual commentators, actual everything like that, you'll watch it because it will be entertaining because they'll make it entertaining. So
there's all those videos that you see of people jumping on top of fired rockets and killing,
You mean there's videos of Ninja doing things.
Yeah. And there's the videos of people building giant fucking Star Wars fucking shit in game somehow as well. You know, so
hey,
I think,
Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like that stupid game AFL. How enjoyable would that be to watch it from one person's point of view the whole game?
Pretty damn enjoyable, actually.
So
that'd be pretty good. To be fair, it'd be pretty good.
Even when they're sitting on the bench doing nothing?
Hey? Yeah, well, not a lot of them. The ones that run on don't generally come off a lot.
Okay. But that's the way we experience Fortnite right now. We experience from one player's point of
true.
View. Mm-hmm. So when the ball's down the other end, you're just watching little things go around. But obviously the TV networks produce it. So it's slightly entertaining for some, but it's entertaining for everyone. Well, it will
be. We're gonna see how it goes soon, because it is entering.
If they do it right, it is definitely a yes to your question. The difference will be in 12 months' time. Will Fortnite be what PUBG was to H1Z1, and will something else come and wipe it off the map anyway?
Well, with how many fucking Battle Royale games are coming, I think it's only a matter of time before the other people sort of jump to other games. But anyway, we could do this for hours. We have to move on to something.
I just want to point out one thing. In the statement from Fortnite, they say we're getting behind competitive play in a big way, but our approach will be different. Yeah, because we've got all the money. That's why their approach is going to be different, because we can offer $100 million, in prize pool.
Their approach is to pay out massive amounts of money. The Rage 2 gameplay trailer was released. Now, this is not the weird teaser trailer that was released that had fucking Andrew WK in the background screaming about how much he wanted to party hard, which is a great song, by the way. Great album, too, by Andrew WK. This was the gameplay trailer, and
it looks sick.
A bit hot under the collar. It looks fucking rad. So good.
See, there's things in there, like there's a sequence in there that very much looked like combat racing, so where it was very linear.
Yep.
There was three or four cars that were racing side by side and blowing each other up along the way. There was the I think it's called Mutant Bash. I went frame by frame on this video, where they're shooting the mutants out of the cannons and you're shooting them like clay pigeons. This game is not going to take itself seriously at all, and I love it for it. So it's everyone's saying, yeah, cool, Mad Max, the cooperative open world game, basically its sequel. But I'm still seeing a lot of Just Cause in this, where they're just balls to the wall, just chaos is going to rain. Crazy. Yeah, like, and there are... We've seen in that trailer that there's definitely Destiny style powers where he's using a special melee attack and ground stomping to do things, and they've said the word shooterverse, which reminds me a lot of obviously Destiny's marketing speak. When this is not an RPG, this is a universe that you'll shoot things and keep on going. It very much feels like Bethesda said we want a game of service that's a shooter that's going to be loot driven like Destiny. Make us one. Oh, we've got this Rage thing. That's not doing anything. Use that. Make that happen. And Avalanche Sweden is going to be so good. And ID is going to just icing on the cake. Oh, it's so good.
I hope so. I hope it's really good.
Do you know what I found the other day? I'm trying to find it now. I found my Rage boomerang thing.
Oh, you found it? I've
actually still got that.
That three-pronged bloody boomerang thing.
Yeah, it's so cool. And...
I think my dog ate mine.
Nah, it's sick, man. I got to find it. I took a photo of it. I'll put it on Twitter later. It's so good.
That's pretty sick. Nice. The Olympic Council of Asia has chosen 6 ESPYTS titles to showcase during the 2018 Asian Games held in Jakarta. The titles are League of Legends, Hearthstone, StarCraft 2, Pro Evo Soccer, Clash Royale, and Arena of Valor.
Clash Royale, is that a mobile game?
It's a mobile game, and I'm pretty sure Arena of Valor is a mobile game too.
Oh, fuck me.
The mobile platform's pretty big in those Asian countries.
You don't care.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was good.
I can't wait to watch some Hearthstone on the Olympic stage. That's going to be so good. Sorry, the Asian Games.
Yeah, they're all not great.
I love how they've gone pro-Evo soccer because they don't want to pay EA for the fucking license.
Yeah,
Konami would have just said, yeah, you're using us. Don't use anything else.
Yeah. Look, LOL is probably the one there that I'm personally most interested in just because of my MOBA experience. And StarCraft 2 probably as well.
I'm not watching any of it. Cool, that's cool.
I probably won't either. Metro Exodus has been delayed until 2019, and Biomutant and Darksiders 3 dates are both under evaluation. Just delay everything, boys. Just delay it all.
Well, the World Cup's on at the moment. They're not working. They're just not on at the moment. It's on soon, so they're just basically all taking holidays while that's on. So everything's going to get pushed back. That's why they're not going to E3, so that's all fair.
It's fair. Yep. I can understand that. Boss Keys, Cliff Blazinski.
This is funny. I thought this was funny.
So, and BossKey's Cliff Bleszinski has showed off some concept art for games they were planning after the studio closed. Concepts included a game called Dragonflies, which involved a ninja or samurai riding and raising dragons to fight zombies. Also, apparently a Zoids-like VR game was in there as well.
Now, we know how good Dragon Lair went, and we know how good Scalebound went. And
apparently, when I was reading it, this Dragonflies was taking that kind of Scalebound idea and trying to make it a bit more. But like, so you're a ninja slash samurai who gets dragon eggs and raises them, hatches them and raises them to ride them into battle against zombies in like a steampunk fantasy world. That was the idea behind this. How fucking batshit crazy.
I swear to God, they sat in a meeting and went, okay, we want to do it with dragons. What are three big things in gaming right now? Well, ninja's pretty big. Okay, we're ninjas. All right, next one. Okay, what else is big? I think zombies. Good. Ninjas versus zombies. And what are we doing? Steampunk. Done. There's our game. We got dragons. We got ninjas, zombies, and steampunk. Oh, make the game. Man.
Then what I'm going to do, I'm going to close down the studio and put out all this stuff and hopefully someone might actually pay us money to make one of these games for real.
Looking at some of these concept images, like this one I'm looking at now is this dragon with this massive, I don't know, contraption on the back where there's two guys. One of them's got a machete, like a full minigun, and then the dragon's got a massive, what do you call them? You know, the thing on a chain from medieval times.
Flail.
Yeah, like a massive flail on its tail. And a flail blades, tail. A flail tail and blades on its wings. Like, it just looks fucking batshit.
To be fair, a car combat game where you were riding dragons, like a Vigilante 8 or Twisted Metal with dragons, sounds fucking awesome. And metal as fuck. And if Slayer was the entire soundtrack, I would probably buy that game in a heartbeat. That'd be ridiculous. Pokemon Switch info has apparently leaked.
I think we'll probably just brush over most of this because this is going to happen and we're going to talk about it in probably the next few weeks' time anyway.
I don't know, but it's interesting information if it's true what's come out.
I think everyone is talking about this. There's even websites, like actual Nintendo websites that have been started up with the name Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee.
There's the two bit. That's the big thing. So a lot of people thought, and back in the day, and I actually thought this too, they're finally releasing a Pokemon game on Switch, like big boy consoles for Nintendo.
Yeah.
With Nintendo sort of positioning the Switch as their new handheld as well, it actually makes sense for them to do the old style and release two Pokemon games, one with certain evolutions and the other with certain evolutions. It looks like that's what they're doing anyway. Yeah. So the two versions are going to be apparently called Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. Now that the decisions on those two Pokemon, I'm a little bit...
No, I can see...
How you're going on?
Well, Pikachu's always been fairly big with the Pokemon genre as general.
I thought that he was more or less pretty much hated by all the hardcore Pokemon fans now because he's just a dickhead.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I could be very wrong.
You're probably not wrong, but just from a marketing perspective, I guess. Yeah. I mean, Pikachu's always been that big draw card.
It's the one that's
going to
sell the games and then sell the consoles. Yeah.
And then they have been fairly heavy on Eevee in their marketing campaigns lately as well.
Yeah. It's because Eevee's a dog cat.
Yeah. So but
it's going to be a remake of Yellow as well.
So
it's
Red and Blue.
Red and Blue. Into it
back,
as well.
Are going to be in the story, but there's going to be a new protagonist. The HMs are still replaced with Pokemon Ride that came in Sun and Moon. This is the thing. Apparently, it's going to have some level of integration with Pokemon Go, but they're also saying that catching Pokemon is going to work similar to how it works in Go. I'm interested to see exactly how the fuck that comes about. Because if you're on your Switch and you're just flicking a Pokeball and there's not that traditional Pokemon battle to, you know, lower their health and stuff. Okay.
Yeah, I don't like
unless shit. Unless, of course, you have to go out and play it.
Yeah. I'm actually thinking of doing a bit more research on it and looking around. So there was a screenshot that came out, must have been last year sometime, which looked like a player riding a Lapras with an Eevee on its head. through some water. And if you look, there's like, you can see a Magikarp on the screen, and it looks like a Gyarados down there and some other stuff. And what they're saying is they actually think that interacting with Pokemon in the wild is going to be more like Pokemon Go. They're going to show up on the map on your screen.
Oh, yeah.
So you know exactly what you're getting into when you go into the battles, as opposed to just running through long grass and who knows what you're going to find. And back to what I think you said, Rooker. Yeah, there are two websites, I think, that have been...
they've been registered anyway.
They've been registered. And but this nobody is basically, can find... Nobody can find any links back to Nintendo with those, where all the other registrations for the other websites, there was links that they could trace back to Nintendo.
Yeah. So there are sure someone's before just... Sun and Moon, they basically the same websites were registered.
Yeah.
There is a lot of actual people who've been right that are saying this, and a lot of the people with inside knowledge are coming out to confirm most of this stuff. Yeah. The interesting thing will be, I don't think it'll be a true 3D like Zelda looking game. It'll be more a high res Sun and Moon sort of looking game.
Pretty
fair. Maybe with the assets of Pokemon Go characters, if they that especially with that interaction with Go, but. We'll find out very soon. Like, they're going to announce it this month, is the rumor. So
To be fair, it's probably not the Pokemon. If it is right, it's probably not the Pokemon game RPG that I really wanted on the Switch.
Yeah, that'll but be. To a be year fair, or two I'll probably away,
get
it. I think
I'll still get it. I reckon.
Oh yeah, for sure. Mm. For shiz, mate.
And apparently, it's releasing this year.
Yeah,
yeah. That's why I don't expect anything more than a high res Sun and Moon, to be honest. Because they'd have to do a proper big map and full assets in a year. It's not going to... it's not going to be anything more than that.
Mm.
Well, like I said, we'll find out fairly soon.
Yeah, well, I'm actually excited for a Pokemon Switch. I would buy a Switch to play a Pokemon game because I really like those games. Some of the best RPGs that have been ever been made, really, those Pokemon games. But now into games that I'm not excited for, Battlefield 5 has a live trailer or a live reveal happening May 23rd. Cool.
Yep.
Sony ends production of physical Vita games.
Yeah, cool. So
that's sad.
Cool. It is sad. It's not.
It's sad. Yeah. If you didn't see this coming and you weren't prepared, your little sadness for it. They're still selling them digital. Come on.
They are still selling them digital.
And I think, come on, Sony. Every enter the handheld market, you dickheads.
Yep.
Xbox releases a new adaptive controller to help people with a range of disabilities play games. This is actually fucking cool.
Yeah. And as old host Xbox Joey,
because it's fucking rad.
The old host Joey did mention in on Facebook, this is also pretty cool for the fighting community because it's you can set it out. Well, the way he said it anyway, it was programmable to do what you want to do. So he seemed to be pretty excited about it.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. And when you actually look at the controllers, they look fucking awesome.
Bravo to Xbox or Microsoft for teaming up with the way they did to get this to happen.
We probably don't say bravo to Microsoft all that much nowadays.
We don't.
But for this, we do.
We do. No,
yeah, you're right about that.
And,
yeah, great work. Really great work. 2K has delayed the next entry of a major franchise, according to the earnings report. Cool.
Hashtag not
that's
going to
be Borderlands.
Maybe, but
no,
an unannounced game getting a delay? Wow. Whoa. What will we?
Well, thinking? I mean, it says in the URL title, Borderlands publisher delays next entry in a major 2K franchise.
That's some SEO for you right there, mate.
Yeah, so that's the URL.
Good old IGN getting right into it.
Yeah, the ESRB is dropping short form ratings for digital games in June. Cool, I guess. A lot of weird news this week. Skull and Bones has been delayed until 2019 to 2020.
Yeah, so how this happened was Ubisoft had its earnings call and said... we've only got 3 AAA titles coming out this fiscal year. One of them is The Crew, because they're claiming that's a AAA game. One is The Division 2, which is the second part of this news that I sort of put it together. Division 2 will be out before end of March this 2019. So in the next couple, the next probably what, 6 months, 7 months, it'll be released, and an unnamed AAA title and unannounced. So you would think it's probably
so the new Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. There's a little bit of hope it might be a Splinter Cell. Probably not a new IP, because they're talking about still selling 19 million copies of those three titles. But they did say that Skull and Bones, unfortunately, did get pushed back to the next financial year, which downgraded, I think, by 4 million from 23 million copies. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Ubisoft's only got one title left this year that we don't know about. So, and I assume it's Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, you'd have to assume at this point. It'd be nice if it was a Splinter Cell, because I'd like to play a new Splinter Cell, but it's probably going to be an Assassin's Creed. There's currently an indie game exhibit happening in Federation Square in Melbourne. So head on down there, say g'day to the good friends. Giant Margarita. Hey, guys, if you're listening to this, g'day, guys. Play some party golf. It's happening between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. Daily until June 7th. And thanks, Blue, for that news. But it's, if you are in Melbourne, I might actually pop down there, because I'll be in Melbourne in the first week of June. That'd be cool.
You lucky winner. You can record live from down there instead of Afghanistan.
Right. That's true. I'll be on the same fucking headset, because this is my work headset, so, you know. That's really rad. And this news broke today.
Like hours ago.
Yeah, like hours ago. So, we happy few, that really fucking weird Xbox. It came out on Xbox as like an open beta a little while ago. And early you play through access, it early access or some shit. Yeah, it's been refused classification in Australia.
Yeah, because it was originally, it's a procedurally generated world where you just basically go until you die and start again, but then they were doing a storyline along with it, and that's what they'd been working on while it was in early access.
It was very creepy, because everyone in that game is kind of fucked, and a lot of that stems from the world and the fact that In that world, everyone needs to take a drug called joy to do anything, really.
To stay under control, stay happy.
Yeah, to stay under control. So it came out today that the Australian Ratings Board have refused classification, that the game will not be being released in Australia. Interesting, considering the game has already come out technically in Australia on both Steam and Xbox as early access, but now they've revoked that. It is now gone off those. You can't get it anymore. Well, you couldn't get it anyway.
I wonder if you get a refund.
Probably not. Well, it was open. It was early access. So you didn't have to pay for it, I don't think.
No, you still had to buy the game, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, fair. But yeah, look, it's just been straight up refused classification. And it came out later. And when I read this, I went, I bet you that's got to do with the fact that you have to take a drug to get by at all. And it came out that more or less that is probably the reason why it's been... banned is there's a couple of scenes in there where like people hold a person down and forcefully inject them with joy and stuff like that,
and kill understand them because they do actually not want to take it, beat them to death.
And I do understand that is a rather
confronting
scene in a video game, but I thought that's why we had R18 ratings, and I kind of find an interesting comparison to modern day with how many people are on antidepressants these days to get by day to day anyway. Maybe the game's just a little bit too real.
You imagine seeing this in a TV show or a movie? Wow, that would be
I'm pretty sure there's about three TV shows out like that at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, like, why the fuck do we have the R18 rating anymore? Like, what? I don't know.
To please gamers that wanted an R18 rating, but that nothing's actually changed because games are still being refused classification.
Yeah.
People are still deciding what we can and can't play and watch. And so from the latest news reports, that might be good, because apparently video games are the reason that school shootings happen in America. Oh, yes. So...
No, actually, it is video games, but it's also too many exit and entry points in a building.
Yes. Okay, well, let's not go down that political route right now. But yeah, look, this is fucking ridiculous. We put up for years with games being refused classification because, well, if we had an R18 rating, then it wouldn't happen. That was the what we were told. We have an R18 rating now, and it's still fucking happening. And really, for quite inane things, like I understand that drug use is a rather taboo topic still. Personally, mm-hmm. I think that we should not be sweeping drug problems and drug addiction under the rug. We should be doing everything we can to teach as many people as we can about drug addiction and why drugs are bad and what drugs do to you, and maybe then that people wouldn't take them as readily as they do. Sweeping under the rug is not going to help anyone. But I just don't, I don't see a good reason why this game is banned or refused classification, no. I should say.
No.
Hashtag grow up Australia.
Oh, exactly.
We may have gun control right, but we don't have many other things right, to be honest.
Oh. I'd understand if it was like, you know, a really graphic scene of like sexual exploitation of a child, kind of like South Park that still was allowed in. But this whole joy drug thing, it seems weak. And again, it's because other games have come in the past year that are 10 times worse than this, I believe. Like, why have they chosen this one?
And like, just turn on the fucking news and you'll see the same thing. Anyways.
Yeah.
You know, it's there. As you said, why sweep it under the rug? Put the rating on it. Put the R18 on it.
That's and it. We're old enough to make a decision.
Yeah, put a disclaimer in there about how bad drugs are or something, like, if that's what you've got to do.
I'm pretty sure that's the whole point of the game. Yeah. I'm almost pretty certain that is the whole point of the game.
Well, it is. It's about him coming. You get the choice of going off it and how, you're basically trying to save yourself from this drug addiction. And like, if they actually played the game for what it's worth and understand the nuances of it, they would probably go, well, maybe this is something we should be giving our, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids at school. And hey, have a look at this. Have a look at how fucked your life can be.
It reminds me of the people that... It reminds me of, like, the Nazis that fucking get behind movies and love movies like American History X and miss the whole point that those movies try and show you how shitty it is to be in gangs. I just don't understand this. Anyway. But, from one disappointment to another... Yeah, from one disappointment to another, the COD Blops 4 multiplayer reveal trailers have come out, and this is the year that I officially... Well, if it comes to pass, if what they're saying comes to pass, this is the year that I stop 100% buying Call of Duty games. I've been buying them over the past couple of years for the single player campaigns because I actually enjoy the single player campaigns more than the multiplayer now, just because the multiplayer's been the same for so many fucking years. And I still actually think that the Call of Duty single player campaigns are some of the better first person shooter single player campaigns you can experience in today's day and age. They're actually quite good. Black Ops 4 has come out and said, nah, we're actually not having a single player campaign. And then the multiplayer reveal trailers came out and it looks like they're introducing a battle royale mode.
Well, they are. And it's called Blackout, and it's Blackout. It's going to have air things, which is going to be cool.
Yeah. Anyway, and zombies.
Zombie mode is there from the start. Got three different zombie modes. The thing they're saying is there is single player content in this game. It's just not a single player storyline. So you'll be able to play like zombie mode on your own.
Exactly, but single player content is me booting up Fortnite and playing by myself. No, I don't want to do that's shit. No. I want if I'm like fuck. I don't like this is just and I guarantee they're charging full price for this. They're going to charge the same amount.
They will, and simply because of the fact that they will, like, there is single-player content in there. That's how they're backing themselves up. The thing is...
They're going to release single-player content for this. They will, and they're going to release single-player content for this, and it's going to be as a full-price DLC.
No, it won't be. From the start, they said you'll be able to play a lot of different single-player things in it. So you'll have the zombie mode, you'll be able to play on your own, and that'll be part of the single-player content. The problem is, they fucked up. The single player wasn't ready. They've had to push it a year. It's the first time in I don't know how many years now that they've had the single player. The actual game, Call of Duty, wasn't ready for release.
Which one are you talking about?
This Call of Duty.
Yeah.
They were making a single player campaign. They've been making that for the last 2 years. In the last 6 months, something happened where I'd say they've been pushed onto making a battle royale game. And they've had to pull that single player campaign. So next year,
that's actually a fucking not a bad theory, hey?
next year they will have a single player campaign back, and they'll spin it, oh, look, we understand, we listened to you, we saw the sales figures, they did drop, we're going to give you this single player
campaign. That's actually not a bad theory. I reckon,
I reckon it's going to happen, but they're going to charge you again for it.
Oh, yeah, like, it'll be a full price Call of Duty next year. Whatever we were supposed to get this year, we will get next year. And they've just gone, oh, shit, we'll just chuck everything multiplayer we've got together, plus the Battle Royale that we've had to be working on because it's making money.
COD Blops 4 Game of the Year Edition or some shit like that.
Nah, I think Black Ops 4 was never supposed to happen. That's my idea, is whatever we're getting this year was going to be Advanced Warfighter 2 or something else, and we weren't getting Call of Duty Black Ops 4. They've just gone, oh, shit.
Wasn't this the Treyarch one again, wasn't it? It was their turn again.
Yeah, but it'll be a Treyarch one next year, I bet, too.
Yeah, maybe.
So they've chucked it together last minute going, oh shit, everyone loves Black Ops 4. Everyone loves Battle Royale. We can do that, and that'll give all the dev teams another year to work on their games because games are getting harder to make. The 3-year cycle is just not enough. So that's what the rumor is going around, and that's what I 100% think has happened. So, because they're not going to... I don't know. There's stats going around too. Like, there's official stats that come out that are showing that games just aren't getting finished in single player mode, I guess, as well. So they could be working on that. But they would have known 2 years ago that they weren't bringing a single player campaign into this game because they would have told them not to make a single player campaign. They've been working on something for the last 2 years, and it's not just the multiplayer. So, anyway, that's my little rant. They haven't been working on it for a year. They've been working on it for... This will be 3 years when it releases, so...
Yeah, true that.
And they won't even have a 100-player Battle Royale when it drops. It'll be like 60 players, 70 players max, so...
Yeah, anyway. Fucking hell. Oh, well. God Blops 4.
Yep.
Coming to a bargain bin near you.
That's it.
And what's this last piece, State of Decay 2 image? It's the last piece of news. It's
brilliant. I got a press release today because obviously State of Decay 2 launched. They've just done some research. So apparently those people living in Perth, you're ranked 5th in the survival standings for a zombie apocalypse in Australia. It's a fast spread of infection over there. Residents likely to bear arms and an isolated location. So you're pretty much screwed. They do say Darwin, if you are worried about a zombie apocalypse happening in Australia, you probably want to start moving to Darwin because of its isolated location, likely to protect others in the community, and residents likely to bear arms as well. So Sydney's slightly better than Perth. Its high population density is going to screw you over, though. It's quick spread of infection and false sense of survival security. Auckland, actually, I'm looking at now, it's the worst, actually. So in Australia, Perth is worse, but Auckland overall, Queenstown's the best place if you're a New Zealand listener. Head down there now. But yeah, you're pretty much screwed if you're in... either Auckland or Perth. Definitely move to Darwin if you're scared about a zombie apocalypse. So check that out.
Cool.
That's
the news.
That's the news.
Alrighty. Guess we'll jump into what we're looking forward to. We'll try and wrap this thing up because I've got Fortnite to play, unfortunately. We'll go. What are you looking forward to, man?
More Division. Look, I've got this whole huge dilemma of do I play Detroit Become Human on stream this when it launches on Friday, because I'm so psyched for that, but every man and his dog's going to be streaming it, and I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to join that, and I'll just play it over the weekend or next week sometime, but I'm pretty excited about it releasing finally. The other thing, obviously, Jurassic World Evolution is getting very close, but I've got some new artwork coming for my channels, so I've got that. I've got the first look at it today. It looks pretty sick. Pretty happy with it. It's going to be new all overlays for my Twitch and buttons and shit like that. We've got a revision going at the moment. Hopefully I'll get that back in the morning when I wake up, and Thursday it'll be live on my channel. You'll be able to see all the new cool logos and shit. So hopefully that's what I'm looking forward to at the moment.
Cool. Josh, what are you looking forward to?
State of Decay 2. Sink some more time into that. really get in and give it a good whirl. Going to play some more Bayonetta. Looking forward to finishing Bayonetta 1 and getting into Bayonetta 2 because they are enjoyable so far. Anyways, and maybe, just maybe, somewhere down the line, I might get to play a little bit of a little game I've had sitting there for a while called A Way Out at some point. Hint, hint, Matthew.
He's not going to play with you. You know that, don't you?
I know. But, you know, what's done is done. So that's me, basically. I'll probably play a lot more State of Decay 2 this week than anything else.
Cool.
Good luck to you.
And myself, I'm looking forward to just playing games, I guess, and hopefully saving for a new computer. I really, really need and want to do that. So that's how I'm
looking. Contact your ISP, mate. They might owe you some money.
They don't. They don't. But yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's the other way around right now.
Wilco, where can we catch you if we need to find you, man?
Wilco Chill Zone on all the places and all the things. So Twitch, Twitter. I've got a big change to my schedule coming up. So yeah, you might see a lot more YouTube coming from me because I'm starting at 4:30 in the mornings as of sometime very soon. So that means that whole 10 to 12 p.m. streaming that I've been doing will pretty much kill me. And I don't want that just yet. So you'll probably see me doing a lot more offline content and uploading it to YouTube. But yeah, Friday nights, we'll keep that for sure. And but yeah, Wilco's Chill Zone, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. Yeah, that's enough.
Josh.
That'll be me.
Where can we catch you?
Supermega Josh on the Discord and Twitter. PlayStation. And, you know, send me through your 8,479 digit Switch friend code if you want. I don't really have much on there. But if you got State of Decay 2, give us a shout out and we'll play some co-op.
Sounds good.
Maybe.
And me, you can catch me at Matt or Matty Jerkins across pretty much everything. And that's on like Twitter and Twitch and all that sort of stuff. I'm not really doing too much at the moment because I don't have a fucking computer. But I plan on changing that very, very soon.
Can they send letters to you in Afghanistan? Will they get to you?
Potentially. Well, maybe. Maybe. They might. Just send them to just Matt Jerkins at Afghanistan. Dot place.
He's the only one there. They'll know him. Don't worry.
Yeah, they'll know who I am. And you can catch us all at our website, ultrasupermega.com.au. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Bye.